Hello and welcome to The Ordinary Knitter, the knitting podcast that's mostly about the projects. This week, Pasadena progress, being kind to wrists, planning short projects, and what was I saying about asking on Ravelry? Hello and welcome to episode 52. My name is Heather. You can find me on Instagram at The Ordinary Knitter, on Twitter as at The Ord Knitter, and on Ravelry at Ordinary Knitting. I've already had two goes at recording this week. Once I was slightly let down by technology, although I think it was user error, but it's been a tremendously busy week, and at the moment my husband is doing something with a very ill laptop and my son is at the football with my dad, so I have a little bit of quiet time. Last week I was going to talk about being kind to wrists, but we didn't get that far, so let's kick off with that. If you knit a great deal all the time, or if you've been on a real push to finish a project, you may well have felt pain in your fingers, in your wrist, or up your arm. Without going into too many details of anatomy, not least because what I know about anatomy would leave space for thought on a postage stamp, your hands are, or your fingers are, controlled by tendons that go up into your arms. So that's why when I get pain from knitting, it's not just in my fingers, my whole arm can start to feel peculiar. I never used to get pain in my below the elbow region at all. I've knitted for several years quite intensively now, and I've never had any problem, except the first time I ever knitted a pair of socks, I used bamboo DPNs, and I did lose the feeling in the tip of one of my fingers for a few days because of where the needle was pressing, but I never experienced that again, and now it's got to be 3 years or more even since I've made a pair of socks on DPNs. It's not such an issue with Magic Loop. But I've been experiencing it quite consistently in the last few months, and I put it down to the big push that I made in the summer to get the Of the Sea jumper finished. It was so repetitive. It was 6x6 rib, and it just went on forever, and I was desperate to get the thing finished, and so I pushed it. And I think the major mistake I made was that once my hand started to hurt, I thought, oh, I'll be all right, because I'm quite good with pain, you know, a bit stoic, and that was a really stupid thing to do. I'm particularly interested to know why some people get knitting pain, that's quite a good description actually, knitting pain, and others don't. Does it come down to different knitting techniques? English, continental, something else? I know some people knit backwards, there's this Tunisian crochet. Is it down to something like that? Is it down to the setup when people knit? So for instance, whether you're sitting at a table with your arms supported either on the table itself or on the arms of a chair, or like me, do you knit scrunched in the corner of a sofa, which I'm probably doing myself no favours musculoskeletally at all with that, but it's comfortable and cosy. Or is it because people take proper care of their wrists with strapping, exercises, that sort of thing? When I follow a few people on Instagram and on Twitter who knit for a living, and my immediate thought whenever they pop up in my timeline is, how do you do that without the pain? How can you knit? Because often what they're knitting are reasonably small things. We're looking at hats and gloves and things like that. So depending on the specifics, you're looking usually at a, you know, nothing more than probably a 6mm needle, and a you know, lots of small movements in something like a hat. And I found myself thinking, how do you do this for hours on end every day and not suffer from pain? If you do knit for a living, and you know why you don't suffer from pain, because you take explicit steps to have good hygiene around the way you knit, I'd be fascinated to hear. So as I said, I've been getting pain in my left hand and wrist for months. I knit, oh heavens, I thought I knew what it was now. Is it English? I hold the yarn in my right hand. So I don't know, I did know, I'm just having a mental blank. And I throw the yarn with my right hand over the needle. So that's my technique. the thing that's led me now to really take action is that I began to worry that I might ruin my wrist for knitting forever. That obviously was sort of made me panic. So I was forced to take it easy. I've also begun to take steps in other areas of my life to see what I could do to just generally take the strain off my arm. And one of the things I noticed, once you think, right, I've got to solve this, you know, you start noticing things that otherwise you take for granted. And ever since I first started using a computer mouse 25 years ago, despite being right-handed, I've always used a mouse with my left hand. I have no idea why that happened. It has been very useful having the mouse on the left and having pen and paper on the right. And I've just done it for years without a second thought. But I realised it meant that my left arm was being tensed and my left hand, my fingers, were making small movements. So you're clicking, my mouse has a jog wheel on it, so I was, you know, zooming backwards and forwards with the wheel as well. And I thought that it has to be contributing. So I went cold turkey. I moved the mouse to the right-hand side of my keyboard. I did that about 10 days ago now. So I still swoof the mouse around, you know, my cursor zooms around all over the page a bit. But it's becoming to feel much more natural now. As I say, it's been about 10 days and it's becoming more of a controlled exercise. Something else I'm changing is my mobile phone use. I have a reasonably big smartphone, and something I love doing at the weekends and in the holidays, waking up, you know, reasonably early. I don't like waking up late, but I like waking up early and staying in bed, and I'll stick my earphones in, and I'll listen to a podcast and just noodle around on the internet. And it's quiet, my husband's usually still asleep, my son's downstairs doing unmentionable things, I should think. And it's quiet time, and I really value it. And so by the time I get up, I'm feeling a bit more equal to the world. But because of the way I hold my phone, I'm stretching. It's slightly awkward. So I'm stretching, particularly between my thumb and the rest of my hand. And that's going to be, obviously, that will have knock-on strain all through my palm, through my wrist, up into my arm. So what I'm doing now is I'm just listening to the podcast and the browsing has to wait. You know, she's probably good for me, really. I'll be turning into a teenager. But I'm hoping that those two things between them, as time goes on, will start to make a contribution. And I've also broken up my knitting time. You know, ordinarily I would have expected to be able to sit and knit for a couple of hours in the evening without a problem, but I can't do that now. As soon as I get the discomfort, I allow myself to finish my row, but other than that I then stop. And I'm hoping that by breaking it up during the day, so I'll do a few rows and then I'll go into something else for a couple of hours and then I'll come back and I'll do a few more rows, and I just sort of break it up like that during the day. And my hope is that by doing that, I will largely keep up the same volume of knitting, but I'm not going to allow this pain and this stress to build up in the way that it has before. And that my expectation is then that the inflammation or the strain or whatever it is will gradually begin to calm down. I was saying at the beginning, I've had a couple of attempts at recording this week. I've partly been beaten by time. I've had an incredibly busy week, which is a good thing because it's meant I've also been out for a couple of evenings, so I've not been able to knit to the same extent. And I am noticing an improvement, definitely. I don't know which element I could put that down to. It's probably just a bit of everything, but it is improving. But I think the acid test for me will be when I can do those yoga poses that require you to balance on a wrist. I don't mean, you know, my entire body balanced on one wrist. I'm not at that stage. I doubt I ever will be. But a move such as plank or tabletop or down dog, when you're putting your weight onto all fours one way or another. And quite often I have to skip these, or I have to turn my knuckles underneath, you know, gorilla style in my left hand, because it's just painful. And I don't believe often tolerating that sort of acute, ow, my bones don't like this type of pain, you know, so I'll stop. So when I can do those and my wrist doesn't hurt, then I'll feel that I've really beaten it. But I'd love to hear your experiences of treating wrist pain, not least to give me the hope that I will actually not, this won't be something I always have to manage, it will be something that will actually heal itself and go away. And I looked up a bit about it. I just Googled it, and if you Google wrist pain knitting or something like that, you'll find there is an avalanche of information, including a lot of conflicting advice as well. But one thing I read which did resonate with me, and it's sort of what I'm now doing, somebody said, I think this was more preventative rather than treating once you've got wrist pain, but this woman said, get up every so often and go and do a small job. So for instance, taking stuff out of the washing machine, putting it in the tumble dryer. I try not to use my tumble dryer if I don't have to, but it's October, it's getting more that time of year. That sort of little job, empty the dishwasher, I don't know, you know, take some clean laundry upstairs, pick your son's cars up off the dining room floor, you know, things like that. And of course, the other benefit of that is you're getting up off your backside, because although I love knitting very much, it couldn't be more sedentary. I love reading as well, and I don't tend to do that walking around. So my preferred activities don't do an awful lot for my activity levels. So things that will help your wrist will also help the rest of you. When a very pink knitting, Stacey Perry, when she started her podcast very early on, she did a feature on wrist care, including some recommended stretches and things like that. So I will dig that out and I'll put a link in the show notes. But what it really comes down to is, as soon as you find that pain starting, stop. Whether you have to stop for 10 minutes, 2 hours, a day, or even a week, because otherwise, potentially, you could find yourself unable to knit for a long time or ever again, which really doesn't bear thinking about. Despite the restrictions I've had to place on my knitting, I've made really good progress with Pasadena. This is the Aran Weight women's cardigan that I've been knitting for myself. The back and fronts are made, I've finished the first sleeve, and I'm now starting on the second sleeve. In fact, this afternoon I've cast on and I'm now on the ribbing. I had considered knitting the sleeves two at a time because they're knit flat, but I was being a bit poncy and I didn't want to wreck my skein by knitting from both ends at once, because when I knit things two at a time, I knit from one skein. I can't be bothered with winding off. I don't have a swift. I don't have a swift or a skein winder or whatever, and I just can't be bothered with it really. And when I'm knitting from both ends of one skein of sock yarn, it works really nicely. But this is an enormous 400 gram skein of yarn, and I just thought that spaghetti was going to result sooner rather than later. So I left it. On a related note, I was knitting in the car yesterday afternoon on the top of sleeve one, and I was looking at the yarn left in my bag and thinking, ugh, I'm not sure I'm going to get another sleeve out of that. And then I've got to do all the seaming, and then I've got to do the front band. And I was thinking, oh my God, you know, what am I going to do? But I have this lilac marl yarn, this sport weight. And of course, the sport weight is a 5-ply and an Aran is a 10-ply. So I thought, well, I suppose I could always make a feature. If I somehow managed to squeeze the second arm out of that yarn, I could do a feature neck band out of this lilac marl. But having said all that, I was enormously relieved when I got home to discover I do actually have a second 400 gram skein of this yarn. So quite honestly, that's a bit of a relief. I don't think I'll be doing anything clever with feature neck bands. I will just stick to the one colour. I said last week that I was going to substitute the arm that's in the pattern for Pasadena for the one from March Basic, because when I looked at the comments on Pasadena, more about that later, remind me, somebody had commented that they found the arms on Pasadena a bit tight. And I really don't like tight arms. And I thought, oh, great, I'm really glad I've read that. So when it comes to it, as long as there's nothing too weird about the shaping on the arm that's going to cause me any problems when I come to make up, I'll use the March Basic arm. But when I came to look at the Pasadena arm more closely, I could see that really it wasn't much different. The stitch count, the needle, if I can get my sentences straight, the needle size for Pasadena is half a centimetre more. It's a 6 millimetre, half a millimetre. Yes. Oh, dear me. The needle size for Pasadena is 6 millimetre. The needle size for March Basic was 5.5. And allowing for that and the slightly differing stitch counts, they're very similar size. So I just decided I would stick to the pattern, which is probably a good move. This pattern requires a 6.5 inch rib, so that on the sleeve, where you on the cuff, so that you can fold it back. But I don't really want a huge chunky folded back cuff, so I chose instead to make it just a 3.5 rib section and leave it at that. And when I thought I might have to be squeaking the second arm out of the remaining yarn, I was really pleased with myself for that decision. But I'm very relieved that it's not going to come down to that, you know, an extra 3 inches of yarn. Also, and this must just be a Barocco Design Studio thing now, I've decided, this is another pattern with a reverse all shaping throwaway remark for the second front piece. It did take a little bit of thought to write it out because it's got this travelling seed stitch band, but ultimately it did work. This seed stitch band is a bit weird. If you ever look at my project pages on Ravelry, I have an if I did this again notes field. So if there's something if it was something small, like next time I would do this on slightly smaller needles, or next time I would add in another cable repeat or something like that, it's partly notes for myself if I come back to that project another time, but also for other people to see that these are the sorts of considerations that other people have had when they have taken on this project. And for this project, for Pasadena, my if I did this again notes field would say that I would skip the travelling seed stitch band. It's got these vertical seed stitch bands, and they look nice in the stocking stitch, but the travelling one just looks lumpy. It's a diagonal band. It doesn't look so bad on one side, but on the other, just sort of looks a bit curious, really. It's definitely worse on one side than the other. It's not that it looks like it's been done badly or that it's got an error in it. It just doesn't look so pleasing. But fortunately, these travelling bands are round towards the side seams, so they're not so visible. But they strike me as a detail that's really just thought up for the hell of it, rather than because it really adds anything. And when you take into consideration as well, I think I mentioned this last week, that the pattern has a mistake in it, which has been picked up by other people, about how many repeats you need to do on something. And I think this affects how the seed stitch band comes out ultimately. Really, I can't see that it adds anything. And if the vertical seed stitch band, I don't mind, but the travelling one, it's really hard to see what it adds. So I think I would just leave it out on a future occasion. But other than that, I'm glad to see that Pasadena's coming along. I think I've sort of done the easy bit, really, which is the acres of stocking stitch, because I've got the making up to go. Well, I've obviously got to knit the second arm, but that's fine. It's not going to take me too long. And then I have to make it up. And then there's a little stand-up collar, which I quite liked. And then you've got the rest of the neckband. So realistically, I have got to be looking at probably another fortnight before this is ready to wear. Despite this, short projects are on my mind and Halloween is on the horizon. I never really bothered with Halloween for myself, but my children, particularly my son, who's rising 9, they always make a bit of a thing about it. For the last couple of years, I have knitted a pumpkin-style apple cosy, and they look quite fun in the fruit bowl, so I do this in an orangey yarn. I got a lovely orange marl from Tiger a couple of years ago, and it wasn't a particularly big skein, but when you're only making one apple cosy a year, it lasts. So that's quite fun, and I use a black to make a pumpkin-type face, and every year I chart out a new face. And you stick an apple in. Obviously, I've kept the ones I've done before, so every year there's one more, and they're just quite fun. fun in the fruit bowl. And ordinarily, they're the work of an evening. A couple of hours tops. But because I may not be able to sit and do this for an evening, I need to make sure I have it done ahead of time. And it has occurred to me that probably, maybe when I've finished the second sleeve for Pasadena, I'm going to have to put it on the back burner just to get this pumpkin cozy done. And then I don't have a horrible feeling that if I leave Pasadena on the back burner any longer after I've done the pumpkin cozy, that I'm going to not get round to it. I find it hard to imagine that I wouldn't get round to it, because having done this much, I want to get it finished. On the other hand, after I finish the second sleeve, there's still actually going to be quite a lot to do before I can wear it, and I can imagine it was conceivably possible that I might start to put it off, especially with Christmas knitting coming up. Oh, I am a worm! I have been thinking about Christmas and what I'm wanting to make for people. And again, because I can't rely on knocking out a couple of hours knitting every evening, I'm getting concerned that I'm not going to get everything done. And knitting against the clock as Christmas looms is something that seems to happen to me every year, and I'd love to avoid it this year if I can. But you know, even with all that real turbo knitting that I had to do last Christmas in the couple of weeks in the run-up, I never got any hand pain. That's a really curious one. Maybe because I was doing lots of small projects, I didn't have the opportunity to develop the, I say repetitive strain very grandly. I mean, I'm not saying that's actually what I've got, but it's that type of thing. If you're, once it's a sock, then it's a hat, and then it's a mitt, and I suppose there's enough contrast in what you're doing, especially because some of what I was doing included an element of intarsia, and you've just got enough variety that you don't strain the same part of the hand mechanics every time. But just off the top of my head, I know I want to do a couple of baubles, I want to do two hot water bottle covers with bespoke decorative pattern in them. Two baubles, two hot water bottles. I want to do a couple of face flannels. And, you know, I can just see that it's going to take longer than I think, because these things always do. Although the baubles, to be fair, there'll be a bit of time taken in the charting of them. But, you know, for what they are, they really shouldn't take that long. Although now that when you get about two thirds of the way up the bauble and you stick it onto the polystyrene ball, it starts to become a little bit tougher. Just when you're sort of on the shoulders of the ball, and then as you're going back up towards the top, it's not quite so bad. So, yeah, so that's what I want to make. I'm wanting to be able to do that without buying any more yarn, because I really do want to finish my stash. Well, not that I'm going to finish it doing that, but I really want to avoid adding any more to what I've got, because it's just a bit ridiculous. Now, I said, remind me about looking at the comments tab on Ravelry. I was talking recently about using the comments tab and the forum and blog post entries on a pattern. If you're not sure about starting a pattern in the first place, or you're interested in what other people have said, or you've run into the buffers on a pattern, asking others who've already made it is a tremendously useful feature of Ravelry. And lo and behold, this week somebody contacted me about a jumper that I made for my son. I've actually made him two versions of this now as he's grown. And what interested me is that this was a very experienced knitter who was asking about the shaping of, I think it's the shaping of the armholes or the shoulders, and the treatment of the cable. And in the event, I wasn't actually able to help, because I looked at the pattern, I looked at my project notes on Ravelry, and I looked at my knitting notebook, and nowhere in there was there anything about this specific aspect. But what I was able to do is find the threads that I had started on Ravelry at the time asking questions, and I was able to direct her to those. And she was also asking her own questions, and she said that she was getting a lot of help, which was fantastic. But it just shows that, you know, never be worried about, you know, looking silly because you ask a question on Ravelry. If experienced knitters are quite able to say, this doesn't make sense to me, what did you make of it? Then, you know, any of us should feel that we can do that. And I've said it before and I'll say it again because it's so true. Knitters love to share their experience and to help others. I've never met a knitter who didn't get satisfaction from helping somebody else complete a project, solve a problem, understand something, and build their knowledge and their understanding of what they're doing. It's, you know, any type of teaching, it's always tremendously satisfying helping somebody else learn how to do something, and this is no exception. So never be afraid to ask questions. As my dad used to say to me when I was at school, if you are worried about asking a question because you think it's silly, he said, I guarantee you somebody else in that room will have the same question in their head, but they'll be too nervous to raise their hand and ask the question. And thanks, Dad, because I've asked so many stupid questions in public on the basis of that advice. But hey, I'm sure I'm probably the better for it. Thank you very much for listening this week. I've had some stunning listening figures over the last week. I did have to ask my daughter whether she'd just been listening on loop for a week to bump up the listener figures, but she swears she hasn't. So thank you very much, and I look forward to speaking to you soon. Bye.